Kof Gimel Adar Rishon, Sunday the 27th of February, Rabbi Joseph Feilich, who has taken my coat? It's nice to be here again, not often here on a Sunday, but it's a lovely day and I'd like to discuss with you a halachic inyan, as we've had the last few times, we've had more Musadic idea or Godder, and some people complained that it wasn't heavy enough, so we want a bit of halacha. So it's going to be straight sort of halacha, no godder, no jokes.
Very good.
Okay. So the question which I'm discussing, as you know, from the title, is something very annoying that happened to me some time ago. Somebody took my coat, I came out, my coat was gone, he'd left another coat, similar looking coat, but it wasn't my coat, and it was a big nuisance. And, you know, if it happens to somebody else, alright, you know, you see notices go up, has anybody taken a blue coat or thing like that, and you think, never, never, poor fellow, you know. But when it happens to yourself, you know, it's jolly annoying, and you think, at first you can't believe it. It's really gone, it's probably it's been moved, and you look around and it's tacky gone, and you see it's quite annoying. So you've got to turn everything in this world, you know, if you have an annoyance or any negative experience, it's always good to turn it around and make something positive out of it. So I thought at least I'm going to try to get some benefit out of this experience, and I'm going to try to use it as an opportunity to analyze the halachic implications of code swapping. So, before you do anything like that, you've got to know all the facts clearly. So let me tell you the facts, and then we'll see how we apply the halachot. What happened is I brought my coat on a Shabbos afternoon, it was for Mincha. When I came out, you know, the coat was gone, and I searched, and I went to all the neighboring Bati Medrash and shoes and things. I saw where he made it, put it, and did it over the next day or so, and it wasn't to be seen anywhere.
Did you leave the other coat?
Yeah, I left the other coat. The other coat I left there, and it was quite a rainy day, you know, it was cold and rainy, it wasn't very pleasant. But I knew that it was a shaila about whether he could really take the other person's coat, so I thought, listen, I don't want to involve myself in it, leave it, and I'll suffer through. I'll be a martyr. It's quite a good feeling to be a martyr a little bit. So, but I decided I really did want to get this coat back. It was a nice coat, and I didn't want to lose it. And so I printed out. What I did is I went back to Eitz Chaim. I went back to Eitz Chaim, and I half put on the other coat, and I held out the lining, and I got somebody to take a photograph of me, and then I printed a poster, and that was the poster I had here, so you could see the lining, and I said, do you have a raincoat like this? Did you come to Minchen Eitz Chaim and Shabbos? Did you by any chance take my very similar coat with my name in it? Please check carefully, Rabbi Freilich, 455, etc. And sure enough, after a few days, I got a phone call. I saw your notice, very nice notice, lovely. Actually, I took your coat. And what I'll do is, I haven't got time to bring it around to you today, but tomorrow I'm passing near your place lunchtime, I'll bring it around to you tomorrow lunchtime. So I didn't want to argue, and let's say, Baruch Hashem, I was relieved. At least somebody's got the coat, it's not lost forever, so I'll manage till tomorrow lunchtime, I'll manage. I said, yeah, okay, bring it around, there'll be somebody at home. Fine. Next day, and then comes 8 o'clock in the evening. By 8 o'clock it started, I wonder what sort of time did this fella have his lunch, you know? And I rang him up, and I said, hello, are you fasting today? Could be Tannis Esther, Muk or something like that, or some special. And he says, oh yeah, no, I was meant to bring that coat around to you today, but I just didn't have the time, I wasn't passing your place. But I'll tell you what I did, I took it back to Eitz Chaim, and I left it there in Eitz Chaim, And I know you often go to Eitz Chaim, so when you go next time you go there, you know, you'll see your coat there. So that was that. And I went back to Eitz Chaim, Taker, and Baruch Hashem, it was still there. If it wouldn't have been there, that would have been another halachic shaila, but it was still there, and I took it, you know, and was very pleased. Baruch Hashem, I got my coat back. And the next day, this fellow, Mr. Pliny, you know, he rang me and said, "Oh, did you get your coat back?" I said, "Yes, I've got it back." He says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, fine, so that's the end of all that. Everything's okay now." I said, "What do you mean it's the end of all that? You haven't asked me for mechila yet. You know, it doesn't end till you ask me, you've got to ask me for mechila." She said, "Nah, I don't have to ask you for mechila. You know, I know Rabbi Freilich. Rabbi Freilich is a sort of man who I'm sure he'd be meichel me. I'm sure he doesn't mind, you know. He'll be meichel me without me having to ask him for it. I don't need to ask mechila." Ha, ha, ha. So I wasn't in the mood for going into the whole thing, but I thought, showing, you know, Rabbi, I've got my coat back. You know, lazayin. But, you know, I thought, let me examine the halachic aspects of this now. What comes out? And I did a little bit of research into it, and I examined it under four headings, four different aspects of this. Number one, what is Mr. Pliny's relationship to my coat? What is he called, legabi, my coat? And what responsibilities does he have? What chiyuvim does he have? Number two, what does he have to do to terminate this relationship, to terminate his responsibilities? Number three, what sort of, has he got a chiyuv and mechila? What does he have to do to get mechila? And number four, what is my relationship to his code? May I use it or may I not? So, before I go into any details, I want to make it quite clear, in case you didn't know, that I'm not a poisik, I'm not a dayan, and I can't give you definite tzachelocha or anything. I'm just giving you the results of my research, and how it seems to me, and if anybody has got any rayas against any of the points which I'll raise, I'll be happy to hear them, you know, not in the middle of the shiur, but after the shiur.
Number five could be your relationship to the guy now, having had this whole
Right, but that's not a laughing matter, that's a musa matter. Yeah. But to be a good friend, So, number one, what is his relationship to my coat? Well, I came to the conclusion that his relationship is a simple relationship. He's a kind of, simple as that, nothing more or less. He's a kind of, he took my coat, you take somebody else's property. If you've got somebody else's property in your possession, then your relationship to that property is really only one of, there's only one of two possibilities. Either if you've got it with my agreement, then you're a shomer. You've got four different kinds of shomerim. So what chiyuvim responsibilities you'll have in case anything happens to it depends whether you're shomer chinam, shomer socher, soicher, shoyel, the various responsibilities. If you've taken it without my permission, even if you've borrowed it, you know, without my permission, you know, shoy shalam edas is a gazlin. So you are a ganav or a gazlan. So if you took it by mistake, so he didn't mean to do it, he thought it was his coat, so you're a ganav b'shoyde. No, there's no difference really, you know, if you eat a piece of chalev, for which you chayv koris, you know. Now you thought that this was a piece of shuman, I really didn't mean to eat chalev at all, I thought this was a piece of a thing. You have a sandwich, a goy comes in, is working in it, and he puts his sandwiches down your table, and you have your sandwich, and you pick up a sandwich, and you eat his sandwich with bacon in it. Yeah? You thought it was your sandwich, I made a mistake. Okay, I made a mistake, so I ate the bacon, b'shoygig. So, if you take somebody else's property without his permission, so if you do it b'mezid, you're a ganav. If you say you didn't know that it was his property, you thought it was mine, then l'chura, you are a ganav b'shoygig. Now, I certainly didn't give him permission to take it, Right? He didn't take with mine. He can't even assume that I gave him permission to take his coat because it was a rainy day, and I definitely wouldn't have given him permission. I needed my coat, and there was no reason why on earth, why should I give him permission to take my coat? He's told him I've got his own coat there. There's no reason why he can't take his coat. So he certainly hasn't got it with my permission, and he's taken it without his shoes. So, Lechura, I mean, one could debate on this, and in fact it's a Ketzos that has a whole thing on it, but Posh Pashtus, he's got it in a Ganav. I was thinking, is he a Ganav or is he a Gazlin? There's a difference, you know, the Torah says that a Gazlin is somebody who is not afraid of people, he's not afraid of the Boyne Shalom, and he's not afraid of people. You know, I'll just snatch something from you, I'll take your pen, I'll just take it in front of your nose, I'll just cap it from you and run away with it. You know that I'm a Ganav, but I don't mind you knowing that I'm a Ganav. You know, that's a Gazlin. If I do it when you're not looking, I do the stealth, and I think you and get away with it, you'll never find out that I was a Ganav, yeah? Then that's a Ganav. Now here in this case, you take something from its Chayim Beis HaMedrash after Mincha. Now, you're not afraid that he wasn't afraid that I'm going to, let's say if he did the Bemezid, right? You've got to decide, is he a Ganav or a Gazlin? Imagine you do it Bemezid. You see a nice coat hanging up in the hook. It's a bit nicer than my coat. I think I'll take mine. I'll take his coat and I'll leave mine behind. If you did a Bemezid, what would you be? Would you be a Ganav or would you be a Gazlin? Now, I think you'd be a Ganav. Yeah. Right? Because you don't want him to know that you Ganaved it. But under these circumstances, it's very easy to get away with it. You know you can get away with it. Everybody's coming out, everybody's putting on his coat. Nobody notices that I've taken somebody else's coat. Right? And even if the owner, if I would come out and I would say, excuse me, you know, that's my coat, you know, he wouldn't be embarrassed. He'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, I thought it was my coat, I've got the same coat, sorry, here you are. And he would get away with it. So therefore, he's not worried, he's not afraid that I'm going to find out that he Ganaved it, and therefore, he'd be a Ganav. If he did a Bemezid, he would be a Ganav Bemezid. So now it's a Shoigig, okay, but he's still responsible, you know, when he would cause somebody else damages, and cause somebody else a loss, then we say, Odomur L'Oilam, you can never say, oh, I thought I made a mistake, oh, I'm sorry, I'm terribly sorry, you caused somebody a loss, then, you know, you've got a Chiyuvim, the same as if you knew. And I even have the thought that since he's a Ganav, and it comes out to me that he's a Ganav, so maybe it's Chayv Kefil. He should give me two coats back, yeah? I'll even make a bit of profit out of this business. Yeah? But then I quickly dispel that, because I thought there's three reasons why I can't claim Kefil from him. First of all, Kefil is a Kenas. We're talking about the second coat. Right? The first coat, that's the Keren, that he's got to give back to me. But going to have to give me a second coat, or the value of a second coat, that's a knas. And knas is an oinish. Right? It's a penalty, it's a punishment. It's not compensation, it's a punishment. And if somebody doesn't do something bemazed, you can't get punished if you didn't do it bemazed. Don't get oinshim. You know, payment, if you damage something, a mazig, a bash into somebody's car, or something like that, okay, even though I didn't mean to do it, I'm equipped to pay, that's moment, compensation. But punishment, you can't punish me if I didn't mean to do it, if it was genuinely a shoying. So therefore, I don't even ever get kefil for doing something to shoying. Secondly, you know, he rang me up when he saw my notice, and he told me that he's got my code, so he was moider, and moider b'kenas is potter. So since he owed up himself, so he's potter. He's potter from paying the second code. The first code is that he's not potter from. And thirdly, nowadays, we've not done the kenosis altogether, because you have to have a special basin of smuchim, which you haven't got nowadays, and therefore, we're not done the kenosis nowadays, you wouldn't get kefir nowadays in any case, and therefore, it doesn't really make much difference. You can call them a ganav or a gazlin, it's exactly the same. So, now that we've established that he's a ganav or a gazlin, you can call him what you like, so he's now, like every Ganav, he's chayiv b'oinsin. So that means if he takes his coat home to his house, and then something happens to his coat, it gets damaged, or it's fire chas v'sholem, and then it gets burnt up, or armed robbers come in and they take his belongings, and including that, they take my coat as well. Anything like that, he's Haiv Oidsin. Once you've stolen something, then you're responsible to pay it back. No matter what happens, it can be the biggest oiness. Yeah, we're not blaming you or anything, but we're saying, listen, you've taken it, you've got to give back. So you're Haiv Oidsin, and if you'd have to pay. Yeah? Especially here in this case, you know, you call him a shoygig, but you know, he's a bit more than a shoygig. I would call him a palshea. And nowadays, you know, they've all got the same sort of blue coats. You go out, you look in the cloakroom, they've all got very similar, so many similar coats. So you've got to be jolly, you can't just pick up the first coat that looks a bit like yours. You've got to have a sign on it, something for yourself. You've got to have a name on it, or some symbol for yourself. That you check it. You can't just take a coat. Sometimes it takes a moment or two, you know, till you actually check which coat. Oh, this isn't mine. You know, have to take a little bit of time. I remember once Gabriel Knopfler in Charlie Toyle in Manchester. He came out after Mincha, and he was looking for his coat, and he looked at this one, looked at this one. They all looked similar. He was sort of looking through the various coats to make sure that he had his coat. And about a boss who was there at Mincha as well said, you know, Gabriel, you should do what I do. You look at me. And he went, he had a brown coat. And he said, look, I can see my coat at all, it doesn't take any time. I've got a brown one that sticks out from all the rest. He said, you know, get yourself a brown coat and you'll save yourself hours and hours of time, always having to look and check the thing. And Abu Ghibli says, nah, he says, you're making a big mistake. He says, you don't know my Bukhrim. He says, they look on me as a role model. And if I get a brown coat, you know, all the Bukhrim in yeshiva, they'll all have a brown coat. And, you know, I mean, we'll be back to where we started. So what we have basically there for now is that you're a pashea, you're a gan of a pashea, and you're chayiv oinsin. Right? The same applies, and this sometimes happens, and this is really very annoying, on sukkahs, you've got a lulav. You know, if somebody takes my lulav, you know, they're all standing up, they look maybe fairly similar, than plastic bath, you know, you think, and somebody takes my lulav. Well, if he shakes with my lulav there on the spot in shul, and he doesn't take it away, even then, you know, there could be a shaila. We know there's a halacha that if somebody comes into shul and he hasn't got a talis, then he can take somebody else's talis in from his box, because we say nichelele inish, the never mitzvah b'mamoino. We can be sure that the person who owns the talis is only too happy if somebody else does a mitzvah with his property. And, but that's with the talis, you know. First of all, you're not taking it away, you're doing it there on the spot. Right? If you take away the talis, I'm not sure whether I'd be happy. Right? But there on the spot, you want to use my talis. I'm not in shul, I've done another minion. You want to put on the talis and put it folded up and put it back afterwards, okay, you can't do much damage. With a lulav, sometimes people are more finicky, you know, you can easily damage a lulav. I'm not sure whether I'd like that anybody just take my lulav. But what happens very often, and this has happened to me as well, you come out, you have your lulav in a certain position, all the lulav stuck against the wall, and plastic thing. You come out, where's mine? It's gone. Somebody else's. There's no name on it. You know, it's terribly annoying. Then you put up a notice, you know. I put up notices, you know. At the time, I remember Hashanah Rabba, I got my lulav back. You know, it's thanks for nothing. You know, that's really annoying. You spend time, you know, picking out your lulav till you find yourself a kosher lulav. That's it. And in the end, you know, somebody else has taken it. I mean, it's a very foolish thing, because if you take somebody else's lulav, he's clearly not yoitzer the mitzvah at all. Right? Even on the other days, the first day of Adar not, because the first day it's got to be shalachem, and it's not your property. But even on the other days of Sukkot, but it doesn't have to be your property, when you can borrow a lulav, and it's okay. But here, if you haven't borrowed it, if he's taken it, if you're tanav, lulav a gozel, and this whole pedic, lulav a gozel, you're definitely not yoitzer with it. So this is the situation as far as our first question, what's his relationship to my coat? Simple relationship, is a kind of poshut. Now, how does he terminate this relationship? Right? He doesn't want to be, he's got now two things. Right? He's got a mitzvah of a heshiv, a gezela, a gozal. And by doing that, now he's got a mitzvah. Wait, it's a good thing, it's not very often that you can be mekayim this mitzvah is one of them. We like to be doing as many mitzvahs as we can. It's not often we get the opportunity to mekayim a mitzvah. Oh, I hated the mitzvah, but hatred is the zeh l'sheh gozal. So if he takes it that way, he says, oh, look, I've taken somebody else's coat. No, at least I've got a mitzvah of a Hashem as a Gezela, Asher Gozal. So, but he wants to do this. He wants to fulfill his mitzvah as soon as possible. And, of course, he's Chai Be'oinsin. Anything can happen to the coat. It can get damaged. Shilin can damage anything. I want to get off my head. Give it back as soon as you can. Now, if you think to yourself, okay, listen, doesn't matter, you know, I'll see him tomorrow, I'll see him in a couple of days' time, I'll bring it back to him, you know, I'll do that, I'll give it back, I'll be my kind of mitzvah v'heshev then, you know, that's not really good enough. Because v'heshev z'gzeilah shel gozal is a sort of mitzvah which you have every minute. As long as you've got it, the Talmud has got every minute, he's got a mitzvah, the Torah is saying to him, give it back, give it back, give it back. If you don't give it back now, then 5 minutes time, the Torah again says to me, come on, give it back. So it's a continuous, and the longer you delay, every minute you're being mevatel the mitzvah of a Heshev and Zeyla which you have then. It's one of these type of mitzvahs. It's like a mitzvah bris milah. If you've got a bris milah, if you didn't manage to do it on the eighth day for some reason, and it's a mitzvah shalai bismano, so it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that goes on every minute. Once the child is well, and you could do the bris milah, then the child says, right, do the bris now. You don't do it now, you've got got a mitzvah again. Do it now, do it now, do it now. All the time the Torah is saying, do it now. Right? You haven't done it, so you can't say, okay, listen, me shot this money, you know, I'll do it one day, you know. You've got to do it now. In fact, there's a halacha, which you probably know, if a moil has got two babies to do, and he's got one of them is a meal of his manor, and the other one is a meal of shalai bismano, so which one should he do first? The answer is, he does the one which is shalai bismano. Because one which is bismano, so the zman is the whole day. Today is the eighth day, so I can do it any time today. I'm yoytze that mitzvah. I don't have to do it pink this minute. Nice in the early sunnah. You can zrizen makdimen and all, but there's no chiyuv to do it pink now. As long as you do it sometime on the eighth day. But once you've gone beyond this man, now the Torah is saying, do it now, do it now, do it now, and therefore you can't delay. Therefore, the mitzvah shalai bismano, no, should be done first. So, therefore, as soon as possible, he must got me a kind of mitzvah of a heshiv and bring me back my coat. He either gives me the coat in my hand, or he brings it down to my house. Right? If he puts in my reshus, you know, he just puts it into my premises and it's safe. You drop your stolen money or something, you put an envelope and you put it through the letterbox into that person's property. Then even though you haven't given him to him directly, but you've put it on his property, then you can be yoitzer on one condition, that you are my dear him. It's not enough to put it into his letterbox. You have to be my dear him and have to say, you know something, I dropped something into your letterbox and it's there. You must know. If you haven't been my dear him, you still haven't been yoitzer. And certainly if you're my dear him and you haven't given it back to him, if you just ring him up and say, listen, I've got something of yours, you know, I'm terribly sorry, but I'll bring it around to you sometime. Yeah? You certainly haven't been yoitzer the mitzvah then. You've done a little bit of good, I think, because the person, in addition to not having his coat, you've got a lot of atmos nefesh. You know, it's an annoying thing. I haven't got my coat, it was a nice coat. You know, it's an annoying thing to feel I've lost my coat, you know, should I bother to buy another one, you know. So the atmos nefesh that he has, which is an extra thing, besides taking his coat, he'd be mitzvah, another yid. So as soon as you telephone him and he say, listen, I've got your code, it's safe. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's got the code. So it's a little relieved a certain amount of the tzar. So it's a good thing to phone him as soon as you can, even before you've returned him. But that is not itself the hashava. You haven't even a kind of mitzvah and you're still chayiv for oinsin till it's in his hand.
If you bought another coat, yeah?
Yeah. Pardon?
If you bought another coat.
If I bought another coat. Of course he's got a chiyuv of him. Why shouldn't he have a chiyuv? Because I bought another coat.
No, to replace your new coat. Besides, he's got to give back your coats.
Yeah.
Also, if you bought another coat in the meantime,
who
should pay for this?
No, I've got to pay for my new coat. But he's got a chiyuv.
You only bought it because he took yours.
Yeah, but that's a lady garoma. That's a lady, you can get, you know, out of losing something, you can have terrible garomas. There's somebody, young man, I think he's the son of one of the people sitting here this morning, And I remember a story I heard about, I don't know exactly I heard the story, but he was living in Gateshead, and he hired a car to come down to London to a chasana, and he hired a car to come down here, and he came down, and he went into Minfa somewhere, and when he came out, his coat was gone. Somebody else took his coat, and he left another coat, very similar, was almost the same as his coat in every respect, except in one respect, that his coat had the car keys of the hired car, and this car didn't have him. So he had to go to the chasana, had to get a taxi to go to the chasana, and then, you know, he couldn't give back, he had to get back to Gateshead, he couldn't get back the things, he had to get a train ticket to go back to Gateshead, and he hadn't, and in the meantime, he couldn't give the car back, he had to rent, he only rented it out for a couple of days, he couldn't get, so after a while, the person actually found out, and he told him he had to get the car keys back to him, or even if he says, you know, okay, I'll send you your coat back, you know, there's somebody going up the gates, I'll send you your coat back, and he gets his coat back with his car keys, but now he's got to come down to London and get the car, and get, I mean, give it back, and he's got to pay car rent. I mean, you can have a whole string of things, you know, come out from this. It caused me a tremendous amount of loss, yeah? But, you know, all of this, you know, you can't really claim that that's all garoma, that's like the incidental thing, and unfortunately, you know, you can't claim for that. Even in English law, you know, you can't, you know, claim it as a result of that. You know, I missed my plane, I had a multi-million deal which I was going to make, and now I couldn't meet my client. You know, I mean, it can go on, it's going to be indefinite. You can't sort of claim for a thing like that. So yeah, you can't be, if I've got a new coat, I mean, I've got the benefit, I've got a new coat now, so I've got two for the price of one, you know, so that he can't claim. But the old coat, you know, is certainly to pay. So, you know, if he rings me up and he says, you know, I've got my coat, so now I've got sort of five different things. I don't know how much time we're going to have for this. It's maybe we'll have to do it and then have a continuation time for next time. But there's a number of possibilities. He rings me up and says, you know, I've got your coat in my house. You know, I'm going to try to bring it around to you sometime. So if I say, listen, I need my coat urgently, you know, I'm coming, don't bother to bring it around to me, I'm coming around to you, you know, to fetch my coat. So if I go around to his house and I take the coat, you know, has he been in kind of mitzvah of a Heshavis Gzela? The answer is he has, because I go around to his house and I'm happy to have it back, he's given it to me, if he gives it to me in my hand, no, so he's given it into my hand, and it's my. So now he's returned it to me. There he is. He's now been mekayim the mitzvah, and he is he's potter from any oinsim.
Can he claim his coat?
Pardon?
Can he claim his coat, which is any gneitz chayim?
He doesn't need to claim it. He just needs to go to ex chayim and fetch it.
No, it was a.
Pardon?
You only realize after.
That's enough. So he goes to eight times and he fetches it. Right? It's like any shlemazel who leaves his coat. I mean, it happens to us all. In springtime, you know, when we go, it's a nice day, you go without a coat, you go with a coat, and then you come home without a coat, you forget, oh, I left my coat. It happens all the time. You can't claim anything from anybody. You can claim from yourself because you're shlemil, but you can't help that. Okay, that's the fourth. That's the fourth thing, yeah. Okay. So now, if he says, you know, he rings me up, let's take the second scenario, he rings me up and says, I've got your coat, and I'll see if I can pass your house, I'll try to bring it around to you sometime. And if I say to him, I'll tell you what, I know you're down in Eitz Chaim, you know, bring it back to, bring it to Eitz Chaim, leave it there, and because I go there often, you know, put it back in Eitz Chaim, and I'll be happy with that. So he puts it back in Eitz Chaim, so has it been a kind of mitzvah of a heshiv? And is it part from oinsim if it gets lost before I get there and I find there and I find that it's not it's only gone again? Yeah, so yes, there's not more than one shlemid in the world. So right. So the point is, so here, even if it's not in my reshus, if it's not in my reshus, but nevertheless, if I said to him, look, I'll tell you what, put it back in Eitz Chaim, once I'm a kabbalah that, so I'm a kabbalah that as if it's a my reshus, I'm happy. If you put it back there, I will accept that.
Does it have to be with you?
As Chazor, pardon?
Does it have to be with you that it's not?
Yeah.
Yeah, presumably he would have to tell me that he's done it. Yeah. But if, let's say, if I can assume, if he says at the time, it's a, put it back in its chaim, and he says, you know, okay, I'll put it back there. So, you know, I'm hoping.
That's life.
But I think that, and once we've made an agreement that he should put it back in its chaim, and that's it. Then it's, maybe it would have to be my DM. It could be that he has to be my DM and says, you know, I put it back there and it's safe there. So let's assume he's going to be potter after that. Now, what happens in a third case? He decides, you know, listen, I've taken this coat from its time. I can't be bothered to give it back to Rabbi Frank. He hasn't told me about it or anything. And he just, you know, goes quickly, it goes to its time, he puts it back again. You know, maybe the same day, as soon as he gets home, he notices, hey, this is not my code, this is Friday's code. Oh, quickly, take it back and put it back in Eitz Chaim. And I don't know at all, he hasn't been my DM here, hasn't told me anything at all. But then afterwards, after he's put it back, then, you know, he rings me up and says, oh, by the way, you know, I'm awfully sorry, you're probably looking for your code. I've actually put it back in Eitz Chaim, and, you know, it's there now. And you know, you can get it from there. So now, the question is, you know, has he been mechayim the mitzvah of Hashomo? At the time when he put it back, he wasn't mechayim mitzvah. He puts it back, and it's not my DME. He just puts it back, he thinks, listen, I've taken it, a Zubnish came bought, I put it back, you know, and, you know, hope for the best. And he doesn't tell me, then he's certainly not mechayim the mitzvah of Hashomo. Unless, right, there's one case where it could be, you know, if he puts it back straight away before I even realize that it's been stolen, it's been taken. Right? So I didn't know, like, Yadav B'Shikh, but I didn't know it was being taken, I didn't know it was being put back. Yeah? So if I mean, this sometimes happens that, you know, so let's say he takes my coat, he takes off the hook, and he takes that, as he gets into it, he says, oh, this is not mine, and puts it straight back. Right? You see, I'm still inside in the base of Medish, I'm still learning, I haven't come out yet. So I don't even know that it's been taken. You know, so he doesn't have to belittle himself and tell me, you know something, I'm a bit similar, I took your coat and I put it back in there. You know, he's taken it off before I even knew about it, he's put it back, then that's okay, he doesn't even have to tell me. It's back in the place where I'm expecting it to be. When I'm finished learning and I come out, I'll find it there. So nothing has happened, you know, I've had no Akamas Nefesh, I haven't lost it, so, you know, that's it.
But if it doesn't belong to it belongs to school, it doesn't have any problem. If he takes a code without a name.
If he takes a code and he doesn't know who it is, right?
Is it back and finished?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily finished. It's not necessarily finished. We have to see about it. He might have to put up a notice. He's now got a chi if he's got a ganav in his hand and he doesn't know who he's ganav from. What happens to any ganav? You know, a professional ganav who ganavs lots of things from different people. Now he wants to do tshuva and he says, oh, this thing now, I don't know who I took this from. He's in trouble, huh? Okay, we'll talk about that. I think we're going to have to leave it. But yeah, I'll just finish and say that if, you know, he tells me, you know, what would be the case if we think about it, if he tells me afterwards, you know, I've put it back in Eitz Chaim. So at the time when he put it back, he wasn't Mekayim in the midst of Hashomo. So now, when he tells me, you know, I put it back in Eitz Chaim, is he with this telling, has he now been Mekayim in the midst of Hashomo? Will this work? Well, the answer is that if he tells me, you know, I've put it there and you can collect it from there, then he is actually Mekayim the Mitzvah Shovel. Because Mitzvah Shovel, he doesn't do any action now, he doesn't do any Maisa, you know, he just told me that it's there, but he doesn't do any Maisa of a Shovel. But Mitzvah Shovel is that I've got to see to it that you get your coat back. If I don't give it back to you personally, but I get to go to a friend and say, listen, are you going to his house? Would you mind taking this coat back to so-and-so? Yizichim Mekayim, the mitzvah. As long as I make sure that it gets back to you. So if I tell you, your coat is in this place, you can come and fetch it. So it's like I'm making you a shaliach to go and fetch your own coat. I'm saying, listen, you can take your own coat. And as long as you're happy with that, you know, if I'm not happy with it, say, listen, I don't want to show run around after my coat, you take it, you've got to give it back to me. So, no, but if I'm happy with it, I say, okay, so he'll be my shaliach, and I'll come and fetch the coat. Okay, that's it, Father. I mean, you've left a lot of other things.